While I'm moving this up here, just two quick points of clarification, just set the record straight. One, the Neely family is fully converted to Padres fans, okay? So, like, if there's any discrepancy there, we're not Fairweather fans, we're not going back. I know, like, all my Seattle friends are, like, texting me, like, hey, it's okay, you can come back, and I'm like, sorry. Josie's already got the Tatis jersey, like, we're already in. Number two, there's going to be a big bin in the welcome area the next several weeks. We're going to be collecting Frosted Flakes for Luke. And so we're going to be paying him in Frosted Flakes this summer. He didn't even know that. But just so you know, you can bring boxes. Luke, you're pretty easy, man. That's great. That's great. Well, we are continuing in this little four-week season series of discerning, re-envisioning vision, what God has called us to in this next season as a church and who we're becoming as a group, as a community, as followers of Jesus. And so this morning we are going to look at, we really have four different components. We're trying to keep things very simple in this next season, but four components of a vision of what we believe God has called us to in this next season. It's very simple. We believe that God has called us to exist, to experience community, to follow Jesus, to pursue purpose, and to impact lives. That's who we are, that's who we already are, and that's who we are becoming in this next season. And so this morning, just for a moment, I want us to consider this text from the book of Acts chapter 2 that will really root us in this last phrase, impact lives. And so in light of that, if you are willing and able, would you stand for the reading of the Word of God this morning? We'll be in Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 42. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. The words will be on the screen as well. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 42. It says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." This is the word of the Lord. Would you join me in prayer? God, very simply this morning, we want to receive from you. God, we want to hear from you. God, speak a message of purpose and of identity into this community. And God, speak to each one of our hearts this morning. Lord, and regardless of how we come into this room and the high highs and the low lows of life, God, would you speak to us now? We trust you, we love you, we give our lives to you. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Just for a moment, I want you to picture this. It might be morbid, but just go with me for a minute. So picture that on the Claremont Mesa, all of a sudden there was this giant sinkhole that just swallowed up Claremont Covenant into the earth and then closed back up and it was just gone. Or maybe even more specifically for you, take for instance if there was a sinkhole right under your home and the sinkhole just swallowed up my mom. It's my mom. My mom has her phone on, okay? That's right. Thanks, Mom. There's a sinkhole below your house, just your house or your dwelling or whatever just gets swallowed up into the earth and it just closed up and that was it. What impact would that have on our community? Like, very specifically for us as a church, like, if Claremont Covenant was just wiped out of this neighborhood, wiped out of this little pocket of San Diego called Claremont, wiped out of here, and no ministry would exist anymore, the relationships, all of the impact, the community impact was just gone, like, would our community feel it? Would our community feel the impact if all of a sudden we were just gone? And again, for your home, your space, your school, your dorm room, your dwelling place, if it was just swallowed up in this sinkhole and then closed up, like, would your neighbors, would your community feel an impact, a negative impact of you no longer being there, of your family no longer being on that street, of you no longer living in the dwelling that you're in now, would your community feel that? And so very simply this morning, but more specifically in this next season, we want to continue as a church to have an impact in this community, in our world, amen? Like, that is very basic, very fundamental, and yet, like, there's things that God has placed in front of us, I believe, in this next season, that if we press into those and maybe let go of others, that we will truly be able to lean into this impact that God is calling us to in this next season. And so just for a few minutes this morning, that's what I want us to consider. We've been working through this language of experiencing community, of following Jesus and pursuing purpose and impacting lives. And so when we rolled this out over the last several weeks, T, you can throw that up on the screen. This is kind of the language that we've used. And I knew this was coming. Like, very first question anybody asks, especially if you're in the church, it's like, hey, aren't we followers of Jesus? Like, shouldn't Jesus be at the top? Anybody else had that question? Okay, I'm not alone. Yes, thank you, Barry, raising your hand. So really, the order maybe would be something like this, with follow Jesus on top. So T, you can go to that next one. We think about, okay, as a community of Jesus, as people who keep Christ at the center, where Jesus is our priority, like, maybe that should be our order. Well, truly, in all cards on the table, this is more of the image. You can go to that next one, T, that I believe, sorry, it looks like a fifth grader created it in clip art. It was just me that created it. But really, this is the image. Like, Jesus being the center of all we do. And because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, then we are able to experience true, authentic, life-giving community. Then and only then will we be able to pursue purpose, and then and only then will we impact lives. And so for us as a church, I want you to get that image in your mind, but I think about this just in the flow of, like, someone who was in your neighborhood or who would walk up to Claremont Covenant and just be like, hey, what if I start to attend this church, like, what's your plan for me? Like, where are we going as a community, and how can I be a part of it? And really, it's just this simple flow. Even though our components of our vision are more cyclical, revolving around Jesus being the center, like, there's this flow, T, you can go back to that other one. There's this flow of where oftentimes people are just longing for a place to belong, even before they know what it means to have a relationship with Jesus. And maybe that's you in this room. Like, maybe you are just looking for a community to belong to and relationships to really be your people. And then through that, we begin to follow Jesus together. And it doesn't mean, like, that we shelve following Jesus and we mastered that class and we move on to purpose. No, following Jesus, again, permeates into pursuing purpose. And following Jesus is the power that propels us to impact lives for ages to come. Amen? Are you with me this morning as we think about this language, okay? And so have those different kind of images of how we're using this language in your mind as we continue to explore it in this next season. So very simply, for the next several minutes, we're just going to continue to explore this question. How will we impact lives? And the cool thing about this is churches all over San Diego, all over the U.S., all over the world, throughout the last 2,000 years have hopefully been asking this question. And so in one sense, this question is nothing new. It's nothing new, and yet in another sense, that a church that has emerged post-COVID and has experienced transition in the last several years and is continuing to reinvent the ways in which we really press in and serve this community that we call Claremont, like, the answers and the ways the Spirit will continue to propel us into new answers will be new and fresh if we choose to press in. And really, this book of Acts, particularly chapter 2, more specifically, the movement of the early church and how this framework in Acts 2 can give us an outline or a map of what it is to impact lives. And so I don't know about you. Maybe you've kind of been on, like, information overload these last 4 weeks, or maybe you've just joining us for the first time this week as we talk about vision, but sometimes it can just be like so big and so wordy and you're like, okay, great. Like, what does that mean for me and my kid? Or what does that mean for when I go to church on Sunday and then to work on Monday? This morning, I want to keep it very simple and just offer one simple illustration for us to kind of orient our lives around as it pertains to impacting lives that is found in the book of Acts. And this image is a table. This image is a table. And if you are regular at Claremont Covenant Church, you're checking your watch and like, wait a minute, it's not the first Sunday of the month. Why in the world is the communion table out? The communion table is out. It's okay. We're just going to receive communion at the end, but specifically it's out because I think it is a powerful illustration of what is going on in the book of Acts this morning. And I want to think about the table in two senses. Number one, I want us to have the image of this table, of the table that we receive from, for that many have received from for decades, for generations at Claremont Covenant. This table. But I also want you to think about the table that sits in your kitchen or your dining room or your living room or wherever you call home, the table that is in your house. I want you to have both tables in mind this morning, this table that has the elements to receive communion and your table. In my circumstance, my table at home has a bunch of yogurt on it right now because we're eating a lot of yogurt at our house right now, right? Like those two tables. So I want to just to keep those images in your mind this morning as we think about the table. Are you with me this morning? We got your table and we got this table. And so I just want to give a little brief snapshot of the history of the table and tracing it throughout church history. I'm just going to throw two dates at you, okay? Are we good? There's going to be two dates coming. First, when we think about the scope or the timeline of the early church, Jesus ascended somewhere between, I don't know, 34, 36 AD, like somewhere in that window is when Jesus ascended into heaven and through the power of the Holy Spirit gave the power of the church to continue through his people, through his disciples, and the church is built. And so really from like 32, 34, 36 to like 54 AD, the church was just trying to like figure out like, what does it even mean to be a network in the body of Christ? And we have this old Jewish roots and we have the Jewish temple, but we also have this new identity that Jesus is the fulfilling Messiah of all the promises to come. And so really in those two decades, there was a lot of like figuring out like, do we meet at the temple? Do we meet at homes? Do we meet at the playground? Like, where do we gather as followers of Jesus in order to be the community? But something significant happened in 54 AD. I don't know if you've heard the name Nero. Anybody heard the name Nero? He was a Roman emperor, and he was very, very mean, okay? He did not like Christians, so much so that he persecuted them and killed many of them in the name of trying to suppress this new movement called Christianity or following the way of Jesus. And so really what happened from AD 54, when Nero took power, really until about 320 AD, when Constantine came to power, followers of Jesus, the Christian church, didn't exist in big corporate gatherings like we experience now. Most of the movement of God in those roughly 250, 275 years between 54 and 320 came from the home. Gathering in the home, one, out of safety and security, but two, out of this simplicity of like, we just bring Jesus and invite Jesus into the places and spaces in which we call home. And so there were these two really big moments when Nero came to power and when Constantine came to power that shifted the ways in which Christians gathered. When Constantine came to power in 320, he all of a sudden, basically overnight, said, actually, Christianity is going to be the new religion of the Roman Empire, the recognized religion of the Roman Empire. And all of a sudden, Christians were thrust into positions and places of power, which would seem like a good thing on the onset, but for really the last 1,500 years, as Christians, we've been wrestling with, like, what is the relationship between the church and state? What is the relationships between politics of the government and politics of following Jesus? And so the table has become central in churches, really the last 1,500 years, as a central place for us to gather, to receive. But again, holding on to that table for the first 320 years, roughly, of the ways in which the movement of the Spirit of God was at work. Are you with me this morning and thinking about the table in these two lights? And so I want to, again, knowing that history, knowing that context, I want us to just look briefly back at our text this morning in Acts 2. If you have your Bible, turn to verse 46. Very simply, it says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Again, these early followers of Jesus didn't have churches that were Christian churches. They had a temple that was rooted in their ancient faith, Judaism, that they're waiting, anticipating for the king, the rightful king, to come and to fulfill all these promises. And so all of a sudden, the temple is a place that worships God, but it's also the meeting place for a lot of these people called followers of Jesus that are gathering in this place. And so the word that the early church started to adopt, it's a Greek word, for the temple or the corporate gathering of the body of Christ is this word ekklesia. Everybody say ekklesia. Ekklesia, it's a Greek word that really just simply means the corporate gathering or the dwelling or the big dwelling of the body of Christ, the church. Ekklesia means the church. And so quite simply, as a community, but specifically in the book of Acts, as they were gathering together in the temple courts daily, that lives were being impacted at the table of the ekklesia, at the table of the church. They would come to the church and not really feeling, really recognizing or fully knowing what it means to be followers of Jesus at this temple. They still were gathering around this literal table, but also this metaphoric table as the church, as the ecclesia, as the big capital C body of Christ. And so we see that impact comes, that lives are impacted, that the early church grew and moved and began to permeate the entire known world simply because people, as it says in the book of Acts, continued to meet together in the temple courts. And so church, just by you showing up faithfully, being here this morning, you have impacted lives. Because Scripture says, the Bible says, that when people gather, the people of the Lord gather to proclaim that Jesus is Lord, that lives are impacted, not only your own, but maybe to the person who's sitting at the right and to the left. And the way that you worship inspires somebody else and draws them deeper into relationship with you. The fact that you were here handing out bulletins or prepped coffee or just showed up this morning and are taking up space, you are impacting lives. Give yourself a high five. I don't know, do something, right? But it is true, like that is where we are as the body of Christ, that you have impacted lives because of that. And the ways that continues to take place in Acts chapter 2, specifically in the New Testament church, is really simple. And it's our framework even now, that we impact lives in the church through ministry, and we impact lives through the church through mission. We impact lives in the church through ministry, and we impact lives through the church through mission. Again, this is just this basic framework that comes in this movement of the early church, just gathering together corporately to be the body of Christ, that we impact lives in the church through ministry. And I could give you 100 different examples, but I'm just going to give you one. Throughout this last season, obviously we've been in this transition of leadership and worship, specifically on Sunday mornings and leading songs. But there's this been this really faithful, steady thread that many of you don't even recognize or know until something goes wrong. But there's this tech team that has been so incredibly faithful. And I don't even know if you know this, and Jeremy, I'm outing you a little bit, but like the last couple weeks, we've made this giant transition from like a pretty old soundboard into like a new soundboard. And I'll say, like, it's been pretty seamless. And it's because people just faithfully show up to serve and to be the body of Christ that we all get to just enter into a place to have words on a screen and just proclaim that Jesus is Lord. And so if you see somebody on the tech team, you don't have to look at them now. Don't make it awkward. But just, like, give them a high five, because they've been so instrumental and so faithful into this season of us serving the church through a ministry so that we can impact lives, specifically on a Sunday morning. Amen? And yeah, thank you. And that wouldn't happen, or it wouldn't be fully the church, if we were just here to serve ourselves, right? Just to serve ourselves, to serve this church, to be an insular church. And we all know what it means and feels like to be an insular church that just serves ourselves, that we impact lives through the church, through the ecclesia table when we are on mission. Man, the timing of this is so incredible, because seriously, 1 week from now, this room will be like half full, because many of us will be down in Baja, Mexico, working alongside, serving alongside a family. Then on Friday afternoon, have a very temporary place of dwelling. And then by Monday afternoon, we'll have a more permanent, substantial home to live in, to call their home, for hopefully years to come. And church, that is impact. And because of you being willing to take time off on your Memorial Day weekend to do that, or because of many of you who have gave faithfully, we raised the $8,500 that we needed for all the building supplies. Like, that is impact. And that is impact that has taken place on mission, with us as a church being sent from this table to another place and another space, not to be someone who just shows up and builds and leaves, but to co-labor alongside a family, to cultivate relationships, to cultivate the kingdom of God in a different place and church. That is impact. That is impact that we all get to witness. There's tons of other stories and testimonies of the ways in which this church has and will continue to impact lives, and the fact that we get to witness one of those even next week. Next weekend is so incredible. So we have this first image, this ecclesia table, where through ministry and through mission, we impact lives, that begins and ends from us gathering around this table. But there's also this second image of the table that comes up in Acts chapter 2. Stay with me this morning. It's another Greek word. I don't throw many Greek words at you, but these are too good to not. So we got ecclesia, and then we got oikos. Everybody say oikos. Oikos. I don't know if you've been shopping for yogurt lately, but there's an oikos. Anybody? Greek yogurt down? Yeah, kind of, but not really what we're talking about, even though there was yogurt on my table at home. Oikos is very specifically your house or your dwelling or the people that you do life with, both in location and proximity, but also in the network of relationships. Oikos is different than the ecclesia table. Oikos is the table that's in your home, your dwelling, your living space, the table that you gather around consistently and regularly, your people, your network of relationships that God has gifted you to steward, whether that's a family or a friend group or neighbors in this season of life. We impact lives as a church when we gather around the oikos table. Do you see how this image in Acts chapter 2 is so powerful, that there's this collective ecclesia table that we gather around to receive from and then to be sent from, but then we have our oikos table, our homes, our dwelling places, our networks of people and relationships that we're called to gather around. We impact lives at the ecclesia table and the oikos table. And without one or the other, that we're missing something as a church. We're missing something as the body of Christ if we believe that, oh, just gathering around this table is all my responsibility and just showing up here, and then it doesn't matter what I do for the rest of my week or my life, as long as I come to this table. And so much in this day and age, I hear this often, even with many of my peers. I'm like, I don't really need church. I do church, or I practice church in different ways. I just have my own table and my own impact in my life, in my family, in my community, my friends, and my relationships. And very clearly, this tension that rightfully so Christians must hold is gathering around the table of the ecclesia, but hosting around the table in your oikos. Amen? Do you hear the connection in this text this morning? And so the table is a powerful analogy. But it's more than just this physical four-legged platform. The table is also this image that we orient ourselves around in a collective gathering and in our homes and spaces and relationships. Your ecclesia is everything that we do as the body of Christ when we gather around this table, both to receive communion, but all the other weeks and times and spaces that we are together, we are around the ecclesia table. And your oikos table is just not the times when you're around the table with your grandkids or around the table with your friends or your family or whatever it may be. The oikos table is also car time. It's also those relationships and that dialogue, which I don't have teenagers right now, but I've heard that's pretty important when you got car time with your kids, right? That happens, and that is the oikos table. The places that God has called you to steward and to shepherd in the ways in which he has called you to. Oikos is not just gathering around your table. It's not just car time. It's going on walks or prayer walks or going and showing up to games or showing up to your friends to celebrate them and showing up to be a shoulder to cry on. Like, your oikos are the people that you call at 2 a.m. when you don't know where to turn. And church, I know you know those people, and if you don't, you're missing out on one of the greatest gifts of Christian community, of the oikos table, to receive from and to be sent from the ecclesia table and the oikos table. Are you with me this morning as we think about the ways in which impacting lives can maybe feel so ethereal and so far off, but if we think about it through the lens of the table of mission and ministry and through the ecclesia, and we think about it through the lens of the oikos table, it becomes really simple. And so to just really simplify it even more in the way that the book of Acts talks about it, particularly in the first chapter or first couple chapters of the early church, we impact lives in these four different movements. And I would say, very specifically, these are in order of the ways in which we must invest our time. We impact lives in the home and in your household. We impact lives from the home and in your vocation. We impact lives in the church through ministry, and we impact lives through the church in mission. I think oftentimes, especially as followers of Jesus, that there should be tension in the order of these things, but if we're not faithful to the relationships that God has placed most closely in our lives as a parent or a grandparent or an uncle or an aunt or a teacher or a coach, whatever it may be, whatever your oikos is, like, that is your first and primary calling in your life. That is the avenue and platform where more lives will be impacted, with you just being faithful in your home. And then ultimately from your home and your vocation or the things that you do Monday through Friday or whatever it is, like, if we as a church are not helping you and equipping you to be the best whatever it is that you do or however you spend your time or whatever God has called you to, like, we've missed something. Because impacting lives just doesn't happen when we have 1 week of Adventure Week where we all come and serve and it's a huge impact. But impacting lives happens way more when you're walking with those relationships and stewarding those opportunities to have conversations with kids and with neighbors or whatever it may be. We impact lives in the church through ministries that only happen because of your faithfulness. We can only gather corporately because people every Sunday morning are willing to be with our kids or willing to make coffee or willing to set up so that we all have this space to gather. But it's all for nothing if we're not constantly pursuing mission through the church, to be the church, to impact lives. And so I don't know about you. I'm in this season where I have a kid who is learning new words every single day. Do you know what that means? And I'm in a season where, you know, maybe you've been there before where somebody uses a word and you're like, I like that word. I don't know that word, but I'm going to look it up and I'm going to use it in a sentence. Anybody ever, just me? Okay, you've done that before too? Anybody know the word impetus? Maybe you're like all reading the dictionary a lot more than me. This is a word that I've just like been gravitating towards recently. The impetus of something. And I looked it up this week because I want to make sure I was using the word correctly. Impetus means the force or energy with which a body moves. Impetus, the force or energy with which a body moves. And so, church, as we end and conclude this morning, who is the impetus of impact? In Acts 2, verse 47, it says, "And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." I don't know if you have your Bible open or if you're on your phone. And oftentimes, if you're reading the NIV or the ESV or the NLT or whatever, there's titles that have been placed in Scripture. Anybody see those? Like, those were not original to the text, right? There were no titles. There were no chapters or verse numbers. There really wasn't even names of the books of the Bible until even a couple decades after it all was compiled. But oftentimes, the title that is given to Acts chapter 2 is the fellowship of believers, right? Is that what yours says? I don't know if you see that. I'm just going to go on a limb. This isn't like heresy because titles weren't in Scripture. I think that this little section needs to be reframed. I think it needs to be reframed to say the impact of believers. Because really what happened, if you look at the very end of 2:47, it says, "And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." But the impetus of impact was not what the people were doing. It was the Lord. It was God's power working through them and just doing the very simple and mundane things of gathering around the table to break bread and to pray together. That, through the power of the Holy Spirit, lives were changed. This world was impacted. And in the words of Acts 2, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And so very simply, church, our responsibility in pursuing impact and being a church that desires to impact lives, our responsibility is very simple. As it says in Acts 2, is to break bread and to pray together. And that when we are faithful to do those things around this table, to break bread and to pray together, and when we are faithful to do those things around the oikos, the impetus of impact will move. That the Lord will move when we are faithful with these little things that He has called us to do. And so as we move into this next season, Before we kind of close the chapter of these 4 weeks of vision that will continue to impact and shape us in this next season, it feels right and appropriate to together gather around this table to receive. To gather around this table to receive in ways that gives us purpose and gives us identity. And gives us the roadmap to impacting lives, that when we gather around the table to break bread and to pray, that lives are changed. Amen? And so, church, the ways in which Christians for the last 2,000 years have been practicing these simple things as the ecclesia, as the church, is just gathering around and reciting these words that the followers of Jesus have done for the last 2,000 years that Jesus gave specifically to his people. And so I invite you to hear these words anew today as the ecclesia, as the church gathering around this table to break bread and to pray. That on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he was with his disciples and he took the bread, the very ordinary bread on the table, and did an extraordinary thing. He said, "This is my body, which has been broken for you. Take, eat in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after dinner, he took the cup of the wine that was sitting there, this very ordinary table wine, and did an extraordinary thing. He said, "This is my body which has been poured out for you, my blood that's been poured out for you. Take and drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and you drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death and resurrection until he comes again." Church, this is our source of impacting lives, the table, not because of what we have done, but everything of what Christ has done for us. And so as we move to receive from the table this morning, would you join me in prayer? God, thank you for the gift it is to receive freely from you today. God, thank you for the ways in which through this church and the ecclesia and through the oikos, this little pocket of just being faithful to break bread and to pray, God, that you will continue to impact lives. And Lord, I pray that that would just start with each one of our hearts this morning, that we would receive from you through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said. You'll be invited to come forward. You can just dip the cracker in the cup, and this table is open for anyone and everyone who proclaims that Jesus is Lord of their lives. Amen. The table is open.